everybody, and welcome to episode 126 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man that really wants suburban women to like him too, Brian. Brian, how are you this week, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful. This has been a week of challenges and triumphs. This has been a week where I have been tested. I have proven my mettle. I have shown others the way of the light, and I'm looking forward to spending the next hour of this life with you.
No, you're very sweet. You're so sweet to me. Well, why don't we toast to that?
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Who's
drink of the week? Drink of the
Brian,
week.
Brian, what week. What are you drinking this week?
This week, I have moved on over, trying something a little different here. Ghost Brewing Company.
Mm. And where are they out of?
They're out of Glens Falls, New York.
Really, a little upstate New York beer coming at you.
I made that up. I'm drinking their Skeleton Key Pale Ale. It's a fruity hop profile, which includes large amounts of orts, corn, rye to mimic a Kentucky common, while it creates an additional layer of complexity.
All right. Give it a sip there. Let us know how it is. Getting worried you might be giving us a little bit of an echo.
That's good.
Is it good?
That's good stuff. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Very nice. Very nice. So I have it's going to sound like a broken record because I've gone to this brewery for the last few weeks in a row. But our good friends at Cheshire Brewing put out yet another new beer this week. This is a Vienna lager called Paw Pound. Let's bring Brian back into the mix here. And so this is clocking in at 5.7%. Let's give it a sip and let me know.
That is a beautiful amber color.
Mm, it's good. I'm not a huge fan of Vienna lagers, but this has got a good flavor to it.
Now, would you like it more if there was lactose added to it?
I mean, I think lactose makes everything better.
All right. You do realize you're in the minority there.
I think you're making a lot of assumptions, possibly talking a tad bit out of your butthole, perhaps. You don't
Ooh.
Know.
Do you, are we starting to insult each other this early in the episode? Because
Not yet.
I want you to know something. I'm coming to you. I want the audience to be aware of this. I'm coming approaching this week's episode as a place. It's a place where we need to come together. Bloods, Crips, come together. Democrats, Republicans, come together. Ron, Brian, come together. We had last week a perfect episode of our podcast. It was great. We were getting along so beautifully. Then we moved on over to After Dark.
Yes.
Which is available only on our Patreon channel. Ron, if you want to put the tickler down below. I behaved in a manner which was unbecoming of your podcast co-host.
Are we getting into this now? Is that what you're saying? You'd like to talk about the elephant in the room right off the bat?
I don't believe that we can go this episode without addressing it.
Fair enough.
Things have been strained. I don't believe you can deny that.
It was a cold week, I think. I think I said things, you said things. I think lines were crossed. I think feelings were hurt.
Yes.
You know, like most things, like the road to hell, it was paved with good intentions, and then it took a right turn.
I'm actually embarrassed. I am embarrassed by some of the things I said last week.
Should we show a quick clip of the After Dark episode so people get an idea of what we're talking about?
But After Dark is only for Patreon subscribers.
Normally it is, but we're going to provide this this like 10 or 12 second snippet so people can understand. And this will just give you a little example of what was going on during the podcast. And then we also have to address what went on after the podcast. So just a quick little clip here.
In a world where your wife hides a handle of well vodka in the tank of your toilet.
That hurts. In a world, that actually hurt. In a world where you used to receive paychecks.
So, you know, right there, it seemed a little fun loving, maybe a little bit over the line, but, and then I think after we got off the air, it went more off the rails. Comments were said. I don't know about you. I feel I have some things that I need to apologize to you for.
No, Ron, I have things I need to apologize for. I said some terrible things. I said things to you that were meant to hurt your feelings, were meant to make you cry. And I would like to apologize to you. So I think if you don't mind, may I apologize?
You may, but I also feel I was trying to hurt you as well, and I have some things I'll apologize for. But please, give me an example of something you'd like to apologize for.
During the After Dark, when I accused you of being a Russian asset, it was uncalled for. It was beneath where you and I reside. It showed the uglier side of us, and that is unacceptable. And I want to apologize. Because we all know that you have 51% ownership legitimately of this podcast, not because you used Russian intelligence to send me a phishing email, which stole my rights to ZipRecruiter and Zoom Online and other various websites.
I accept.
So I apologize to you, Ron.
And if I may also, after we went off the air, I'm sorry that I said that at times you make less sense than a Kanye West campaign ad. That was a low shot, and it was unnecessary, and I apologize to you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But that actually reminds me of something else I said last week, which I feel it got personal. I would like to apologize to you for saying that your first wife said that I was a better lover than you. It was personal. It attacked, you know, an area of weakness, you know, an area where I think you feel very sensitive about your lovemaking abilities. And to be brutally honest, she said to me that we were both equally as good.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming clean on that.
Thank you.
You know, I would like to apologize. I should not have said that the only thing you put less effort into than this podcast is your personal hygiene. That, again, had just to hurt you. And it's not true. I've always found you to be a very clean individual. So
I am.
For me, it was coming from an area of insecurity for me. And you should not have had to go through that. So I apologize.
I appreciate that. I also said something where this was something that I had kept a secret from you for 20 years, and a public forum was not the place for me to disclose to you that it was actually I who turned us into college radio management. Back in Albany for drinking on air simply so that you could get banned for the rest of your time in college. I had a lot of issues back then. Jealousy was one of them. I couldn't have you continuing the great radio show that you were doing, playing jazz at 11 o'clock in the afternoon when nobody was watching or listening. And I want to apologize. Because I should not have said that to you. That's
water under the bridge, my friend. Water under
thank
the
you.
Bridge. You know, just one more thing I would like to apologize for. When we were having the conversation and I implied that you like being peed on more than our president does. That was, you know, whether it's true or not, you know, we talk that we don't kink shame here on this podcast. So regardless of the validity of it, it was, you know, again, I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it isn't true. Regardless of it, not a comment that should have been made. So I do apologize.
If I'm just going to say, if you do want to know whether it's true or not, you should probably call your first wife.
Fair enough. I can certainly do that. Is slate clean?
Slate is clean.
All right.
I hope that we can go the rest of this week without the same type of petty behavior that we were bringing to the table last week. Ugly, and you deserve better, Ron.
And you deserve better, my friend.
Thank you.
Let's put this behind us, and let's tackle the real problem we have around here with this week in racism.
This
week
in
racism.
So a lot on the racist docket this week. This first thing, just more of informational than anything else. Yelp apparently is now going to be alerting users when a business on its platform has been accused of racist conduct. When someone associated with a business is accused of or is the target of racist behavior, Yelp will apply its general public attention alert. But if there is, quote, resounding evidence of egregious racist actions by a business owner or employees, such as racist symbols or slurs, Yelp will apply a business accused of racist behavior alert and link to a credible news source to provide users more information. Question to you, Brian.
Yes.
Do you think they are literally just stealing from us doing this?
What do you mean by stealing?
Well, I mean, it wasn't an issue until we really took a hard stance against racism earlier this year.
Racism is something that is so terrible that I don't believe that any one entity such as this show that we should claim that we are in charge of identifying and exposing racism. When it comes to racism, I believe the more, the merrier.
All right.
Hold on a second. That's a bad quote. When it comes to racism, when it comes to attacking racism, when it comes to exposing racism, let's all get together.
Little slip up, like when Lindsey Graham earlier this week said, you know, returning to the good old days of segregation in the Judiciary Committee hearing.
He
was being sarcastic, you know, just a sarcastic man. Let's get into some of these stories here. We have a Marine under investigation for a racist rant threatening to target Chinese people upon his deployment, claiming, quote, China is going to pay for its handling of the coronavirus. A 32-second video clip was posted to Twitter showing PFC Jarrett Morford using racial slurs against Chinese citizens while referencing the caliber of bullets used in standard rifles issued to Marines. A Marine Corps spokesman told Stars and Stripes that an investigation is currently ongoing and vowed that appropriate action by his command would be taken. Right here in Pennsylvania, we're going out to Forest Hills, where Pennsylvania's second lady, Giselle Barreto Fetterman, was verbally assaulted by a woman while shopping at an Aldi near her home. The woman said, quote, "There's that N-word that Fetterman married. You don't belong here. No one wants you here. You don't belong here." Fetterman, who was born in Brazil, captured video of the woman in the parking lot as she came over to her car and yelled the N-word at her again. PA State Police have identified the woman but have not released her name as she has not been charged with the crime. Their findings have been forwarded to the Allegheny County District Attorney for review. I don't know if you happen to catch the video the second lady caught of this woman, but the woman pulls down her mask to make sure that her, you know, racial slur can be heard, and one tooth in the head. Literally, I think just two if she's lucky.
Well, you are talking about, you know, central Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes.
So you're not necessarily, you know, the thing about Pennsylvania is once you get outside of the Philadelphia or the Pittsburgh metropolitan areas, I mean, that area of Kentucky, I mean, I know a lot of people call it Pennsyltucky because they think they're being cute about it, but it really is just 100% guaranteed garbage people, with the exception of the Amish. We like the Amish.
We do like the Amish.
Except the ones that made their sister pregnant from 2 weeks ago.
Then we
what
have
was that last week on After Dark.
That was I think that was last week we talked about the Amish brothers that impregnated their sister. This is why you have to go to RonandBrianPodcast.com and sign up for the Patreon. You're missing great stories like that.
Because those two guys had the best Oompa Loompa haircuts that I had seen ever in years. Anyway, but to make a long story short, I like to think that the Amish are okay, but absolutely that the central Pennsylvania just gets sketchy as fuck.
No doubt. Going out to the left coast now in Tacoma, Washington, the Washington State Attorney General's office fired a senior criminal investigator after a restaurant server said that he made a scene and stiffed her on a tip for wearing a Black Lives Matter button. Cloyd Steiger, who had worked for the AG's office for 22 years, had visited the Fish Peddler restaurant on September 6th. His termination letter states that he displayed, quote, angry, disrespectful, and disruptive conduct at the restaurant. And on his personal Facebook page, when he later posted a picture of his receipt with the note, BLM button, no tip. That's how socialism works. Steiger has retained an attorney and will be fighting his dismissal.
Hold on a second.
Yes, please do.
Hold on.
Okay.
What did this man do other than be a shitty customer?
Apparently, going to the video from the restaurant, he was verbally abusive. He was physically threatening. So apparently, okay. You know, he was fired for conduct unbecoming his position.
Okay.
He is now trying to spin this into a First Amendment type situation.
Well, I do believe that the cancel culture has gotten to the point. I mean, like I do have concerns that people losing their jobs because, you know, the attention that is being brought to them because of behavior that they are exhibiting, which is not illegal, albeit, you know, terrible behavior. But, you know, simply not deciding not to tip your waiter or waitress because you disagree with their stance on Black Lives Matters. You shouldn't lose your job over that.
Well, he also equated the Black Lives Matter to the Ku Klux Klan. He made some statements along those lines. So again, if you are an investigator in the Attorney General's office and you were supposed to be a neutral party, but you are making statements that may indicate a bias, doesn't that concern you?
But everybody has bias. Everybody has a built-in level of bias. It's the fact that are you a professional and can you keep that bias out of the workplace while you're executing the duties of your job.
And I guess this made his employer question whether he could or not.
I mean, Ron, you do understand what a job is, right?
I still, it's been a while, but I still understand what a job is and the requirements as of such.
Okay. I just need to throw that barb in, but like, no, it just, if they can't show that the actions he took working in the district attorney's office showed that he had bias, and I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with him losing his job because of that.
Well, it's going to go to court, so we'll follow it and see what happens.
Okay.
All right. Going to Kanab, Utah, a Trump supporter was caught on video coughing on Black Lives Matter protesters that were gathered near a gas station. Robert Brissett is seen yelling at the protesters saying, quote, Black lives don't matter. All lives matter. You look like a pansy ass piece of shit. He then proceeds to cough on them while saying, oh, I'm so scared of your fucking virus. Police have investigated the incident and has turned over their findings to the Kane County Attorney's Office to see if any charges should be followed. Now, Brissett has gone online to say that he has been charged and also has set up a GoFundMe to fund his defense. He was looking for $10,000 and had collected $50 before GoFundMe took it down, claiming it did not meet their whatever their standards are.
Good.
Funny, because in the video he's like, and if you want to know who I am, I'm Robert Brissett. You find me on Facebook. And so the police did find him on Facebook and then arrested him. So always good.
That's awesome. Right.
I don't care. It's funny.
I never thought I would live in a world where coughing on someone was considered a crime.
Now that it's
the pandemic, it absolutely, yeah. I see where, you know, I see the reason for those charges.
Yep, and some states go even crazy and say, like, you know, an attack with a bioweapon, they'll charge people with. Technically, it could be. I know you get all excited when you hear about bioweapons. And we actually have a few racism rewind stories this week.
Racism rewind.
We'll start with Lee Muat of Newport, Michigan, who had previously been charged for striking a black teenager with a bike lock at Sterling State Park while telling him and his friends that, quote, N-words don't belong at this beach and black lives don't matter. In addition to the state charges he's facing, this week he was also charged with a federal hate crime. His court date has not yet been set. Coming back to PA, Duquesne University education professor Gary Shank had been on administrative leave since last month after he used the N-word multiple times during a Zoom class he was teaching on September 9th. This week, the university terminated Shank after completing their investigation. Shank's attorney said he plans to file a grievance against the firing. Of course, because why not?
Reasonable.
And then our last racism rewind, we all remember Amy Cooper. She was the woman who called the cops on a black man in Central Park, claiming that he was going to assault her when he had just asked her to put her dog on a leash while in the Ramble area of the park. The New York Times reported this week that in addition to the initial phone call that we saw in her viral video, she made a second phone call to the police stating that the man, Christian Cooper, tried to assault her. She had been charged with filing a false police report, and this week, senior prosecutor Joan Aluzzi said that the DA's office is, quote, exploring a resolution to the case that would require Ms. Cooper to publicly take responsibility for her actions in court and attend a program to educate her on how harmful they were.
But no jail time.
No jail time. I mean, she's trying to misdemeanor to begin with. So, and whatever happened with de Blasio trying to ban her from Central Park for life?
De Blasio has moved on to much more important things like expanding bike lanes and shutting down restaurants that are trying to do indoor dining because they're trying to pay their rent.
I heard that 90% of New York City restaurants were not able to pay their rent last month.
I wonder how many restaurants on a normal basis are able to pay their rent.
Very true. Considering how much it costs to have a place in New York City. Excellent.
I know somebody who is a who is invested in a restaurant, and he mentioned to me that his rent was $40,000 a month.
I can't even imagine. I mean, with the cost of, you know.
That's rent. That's not food. That's not labor. That's rent.
Food costs, you know, liquor, insurance, everything.
Liquor? Else. I hardly know her.
Oh, my friend, you nail it every single time. All right, let's beef it out.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
It's a combination.
Okay.
Two things that are very closely tied together. One, my first beef is with people who are being diagnosed with the COVID-19 for a second time. That's my beef.
Okay.
My second beef are people that are overreacting to the fact that there are people who are testing positive for the second time with the COVID-19 virus. There are, I believe, as recently, I saw a fact that about 30 million people in this planet have been stricken with the coronavirus.
Roughly, yes.
7 people have been diagnosed as having had this disease twice. And yet, with those incredible odds, society is trying to scare those of us who have the immunity from the COVID, who have the antibodies flowing through their skin. They're trying to scare us into believing that we are vulnerable and that we are not the superheroes that we actually are.
That is a shame. But I did see that apparently a Dutch woman became the first person to die after contracting COVID for a second time.
That might be the case. And what I would like to say is that one woman out of 30 million got this and died the second time. I'm going to take my chances. I like those odds because you're literally saying that 29,999,999 people have gotten coronavirus and did not die when they got it a second time. I'm willing to take those odds.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm a survivor, Ron. I don't think you remember. But during the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, the first wave in New York City, there were tough times. I was stricken. Yet I did this podcast every week.
You did. I remember explicitly. But listen, if people dying does not bother you, then so be it. Allow that to be your beef of the week.
Ron, it is what it is.
All right. My beef, very important again this week. Halloween candy, Brian. I got a beef with bags of Halloween candy. I mean, don't get me wrong. As a fat guy, I really appreciate this time of year because I can go to Costco and buy a 5-pound bag of candy and no one blinks an eye at it. And right. They attract you with putting they put 100 grand bars in the front and they put, Milky Way and all that. But then what they don't, what you don't see is how many of the Almond Joy and York peppermint patties and Twix that they just jam in there. So the first quarter of the bag, you're like, this is fantastic. I love these candies. And then you're like, well, I guess I got to start eating these Almond Joys or all I'm going to have left is coconut and peppermint by the end of it. And I already know how you feel about coconut.
Fucking hate it. I do like a peppermint patty.
Every now and then, a peppermint patty is not too bad, but I don't know if I want 5 of them in a row.
I can't do a Almond Joy. And what's the other one? Coconut that seems to be very popular?
Mounds. That's an Almond Joy without the almond.
Is that what it is? It's literally just like a bed of coconut with chocolate around it? Coconut
with chocolate around it.
Garbage. That is a garbage candy. That's the candy you give away on Halloween.
Exactly. Your
kids, would you like some mounds? Shh, don't tell anyone. I also am going to throw in an Almond Joy. Meanwhile, you're throwing Reese's peanut butter cups down. You're eating the good stuff. You're saving it for yourself. It's not that I don't value human life. What I'm saying is the fact that that statistically, the odds of somebody getting this disease a second time as of right now are incredibly small. And instead, we are using scare tactics to make people who have the antibodies feel as if we are just as susceptible to this disease as before we had. And statistically, that's not true.
No, that's fine, Brian. I'm not asking you to defend yourself. I was just, just saying. But in the meantime, let's get to the really important part of the show, Brian. NFL lock of the week. Football season somehow still managing to go on, even with teams testing positive for COVID each and every week.
The important thing here, Ron, and this is what I'm afraid that our listeners are not picking up on, but despite a pandemic, despite the unpredictable nature of organized sports in a pandemic, you last week were able to go 2-0 on your locks of the week. Last week, you saw the Chiefs were laying 12 against the Raiders. You sat there and said, you know what? Mahomes is going to go down eventually. This is the week. The Raiders are too good of a team to be given 12 points. Raiders win the whole game 40-32. Then you're looking at the Washington football team and you said they're trash, they're garbage. Rams laying 7. Let's go with LA. Rams win by 20. Ron, week 5 results are in once again, 2-0. People, if you are not taking Ron's advice, you are missing out on free money.
Brian, I also have to pat you on the back for a stellar week. You saw the Colts and the Browns. It was a straight-up pick'em game. You're like, you know what? I feel like the Browns are due. And sure enough, Browns win 32-23. You saw the Jets against the Cardinals. Cardinals were giving 7 points. You were like, you know what? There are some people that might say the Jets are due, but you'd have to be a stone cold moron to really believe that. So you put your money on the Cards, and it came up being the best play because they win 30-10. Congrats to you. Perfect for the season so far. Unbelievable.
And speaking of that, people, if you are if you're looking to get some money, if you're looking for free money, there's only one thing to do, and that is to use our promo code at mybookie.com, M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. Use our promo code Ron and Brian, and you are going to get a 100% match on the first 38 cents that you deposit into your account. If you don't use our code, you don't get anything. There is no match from MyBookie. But go to mybookie.com/Ron and Brian podcast. Use our code Brian49 and you will get 38 cents put into your account. If you put 38 or more cents into it, free money. Ron, what is your record this year in football?
I mean, I believe I'm 10-0 so far.
And you're about to give two more picks, people. If you're looking for money, make these bets.
There you go.
Call to action.
So I am loving the Tennessee Titans giving 3 points against the Texans. This is the line I don't understand. Titans 4-1, Texans 1-4. The game's in Tennessee. Tennessee's only favored by 3. Yes, it is a short week for the Titans, but I'm loving the line. I'm taking the Titans -3. And then the Cardinals are going into Texas Stadium against the Cowboys, who just lost their star quarterback, Dak Prescott, to a broken ankle, I believe. Arizona's
terrible.
I'm loving the Cards. I don't think the Cowboys can get it done first week with a backup quarterback. Those are my two picks. Brian, who do you like in this upcoming week?
I like Minnesota Vikings -4 over the Falcons. I think Atlanta's trash. Speaking of trash, the New Jersey Jets, awful. They're getting 9.5 against the Dolphins, who literally rolled over the 49ers last week. If you go to my bookie, you're looking at Minnesota, you're looking at Miami. It's the bet to make.
Remember, bet with your head, not over it. Right, Brian? We don't want people.
Absolutely. Listen.
Again, this is money in the bank.
Yes. Yes. Don't bet money that you can't afford to lose, even though with these bets, you will not lose. Guaranteed.
I mean, a valid.
We don't call them our locks.
From Billy saying, is Ron making enough money with his football picks to offset his loss of income due to other reasons? Don't worry, Billy. I am still living off the public dole and will be for another 13 weeks.
Are you getting any additional money, or is it just the standard unemployment at this point?
It's just the standard now. We went through the federal CARES. We went through the lost wages assistance. I did actually need to reach out to unemployment today because I went through my general unemployment, and it was supposed to roll over to the pandemic employment, and that did not happen. So I spoke with a just extraordinarily helpful woman on their live chat feature today who, after I outlined everything very thoroughly, was like, how may I assist you? And I was like, what about the last 20 paragraphs? Wasn't clear. So she apparently fixed things. We will see come this Sunday when I try to file a claim again.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I would like to get a job, though. I'm not saying I wouldn't.
But think about this. If there was a time to be out of work, it's now. Think about it. The time you are getting to spend with your wife, These are days you will never be able to get back. You know, prior to this pandemic, the two of you would wake up at 4:30 in the morning. You would rush through a cup of coffee, breakfast, which usually were sous vide eggs with avocado oil cooked into them. Anyway, to make a long story short, you would rush out of the house and you'd be gone by 6:45. Now, you get to spend your entire day with your wife. What is this going on? Month 7?
Pretty much, yeah.
Basically spending every minute with her. You must cherish these days so much.
I just enjoy the fact how much my avocado oil just enrages you.
Well, first off, I don't understand how you get oil out of an avocado. I don't get it.
Do you understand how you get oil out of an olive?
You press it.
Okay, so you do the same thing.
No, but isn't it just, it just turns into a mash.
But there is a liquid that also comes out of it.
Just like my fleshlight.
Hey-o!
So that literally, there's oil that you can squeeze out of an avocado?
Yeah. It's great.
I thought that it was oil with like avocado like infused in it.
No, my friend.
Now, how many different types of oil? Just because I want people to know how bougie you are.
I mean, I've got regular canola oil, of course. I've got
That is trash. That is garbage.
It's got a high point, Brian. That's what you really use it for. I've got the olive oil, of course. I've got avocado oil. I've got peanut oil. I've got sesame oil, both light and dark. And of course, a number of infused. I've got a great roasted garlic olive oil, which I really like, an Italian herb olive oil, a few other ones. We haven't even gotten to my balsamic vinegars either.
I think now's a good time to address this this level of suburban boredom that you literally have what emotional hole are you looking to fill that you require 9 different types of oils?
Right. Don't you respect a great meal as much as anyone else, correct?
Oh yes, I do, which is why I go out to eat.
Right. So, you know, if you had the ability to cook great meals, wouldn't you then do so? Or are you the bougie one that are just going to pay somebody to do it for you?
I'm the lazy one that would pay somebody to do it for me. That doesn't make me bougie at all.
Sometimes you have to collect the tools to be able to do this stuff for you at home.
The bougie is from buying 9 different plastic bottles so that you can have a display of the different types of oils on your countertop.
I only have the squeeze bottles for the oils that I use most regularly. And that's olive.
But do you call your wife down like during the afternoon? You're like, hey, honey, I'm using the roasted garlic olive oil. Come down.
She always for lunch. She always wants me to make her some tomato and mozzarella with some olive oil and 18-year-aged balsamic vinegar on it.
18, like a scotch?
Almost.
All right. Now I need to hear it. Sorry if... our loyal listeners, I apologize if you're bored, but I'm not. Walk me through your balsamic vinegars.
Well, I mean, the main one I use, there is a place about 30 minutes from here that does a bunch of different olive oils and balsamic vinegars. And the one that their main one that they do is an 18-year-aged balsamic vinegar. So I will use that primarily in recipes that need just like straight balsamic vinegar. I mean, I do have like a white wine balsamic. I've got some flavored balsamics, but the 18 year is the one I go to the most.
Can I ask a very potentially embarrassing question?
Of course.
How do you make vinegar?
That I don't know.
What is vinegar?
I don't know how you make vinegar.
All right, take over for a moment, which I know you're very comfortable doing. I need to look up how you make vinegar.
Well, I will answer a question from Billy asking, do you use any of the meal prep services for cooking or do you make stuff on your own? I have tried some of the meal cooking services like HelloFresh and Blue Apron and that stuff. But for the most part, I do all of the cooking myself. So it kind of works out well. My wife is fanatical about the cleaning while I prefer cooking. So it kind of works out well for us. Brian, you've had my food. I mean, do you have any issues with it?
I love your food.
So what are you finding out about vinegar? How do you make it?
Vinegars are source materials for making vinegar vary from different fruits, grains, alcoholic beverages, and other fermentable materials. It is a... You know what? Fuck, I swear to God. Wikipedia, I used to be able to get a quick answer from Wikipedia, but it now has just become just as useless as a dictionary. Vinegar is an aqueous solution of acetic acid and trace chemicals that may include flavorings.
Yeah, I mean, I have white vinegar. I've got, red wine vinegar. I've got apple cider vinegar. I've got rice wine vinegar. And of course, the balsamic vinegars.
Oh, usually the acetic acid is produced by the fermentation of ethanol or sugars by acetic acid bacteria. I still don't know how they make vinegar.
Well, that would make sense, because if if you leave a bottle of wine for too long and it's not sealed properly, it becomes vinegar.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's my little bit of knowledge for the week for you.
So if I were to leave out white wine, it will become white wine vinegar?
Potentially, yeah.
All right.
All right. A little bit of information. What do we want to move on to next, Brian? What else do we have this week?
One thing.
Yes.
Donald Trump has been cured. He is healthier than ever. He is immune. And right now, as we speak, he is giving a public forum town hall on NBC, going up against Joe Biden's town hall on the competing ABC network, because neither of them could agree on doing a second presidential debate, which is supposed to be scheduled for tonight. And we picked Thursday as our regular night for a podcast based on the presidential debate schedule.
Now, apparently the third one is still supposed to go on. That is still scheduled to happen. I don't know what the date is offhand, but you would think now that Donald has been cured of this plague that he should be able to do it.
I you know what? I suddenly find myself rooting for him, rooting for him to get sick again. Now, why can't he get coronavirus for a second time?
You know what? If anybody's going to get coronavirus for the second time, it will probably be him.
Let's hope. But I like the fact that I'm seeing a lot of Republicans now wearing a mask.
Well, and even Chris Christie came out today and commented that, he was wrong to have had a sense of confidence going to the White House, that he should have been social distancing, that he should have been wearing a mask. So it is very interesting to hear a lot of these folks, changing their tune. There was some audio that came out today from Senator Ben Sasse, basically trashing Trump
Sassy.
On his handling of the coronavirus. Billy's telling us the next debate is scheduled for next Thursday. So,
yeah. Now, is there any way you could stream that on a third screen?
If we want to get shut down again, yes, I think we can do that.
In a world where you get cut off on your YouTube show because... So
this is the third presidential debate is supposed to be taking place at Belmont University in Nashville. The moderator for this will be Kristen Welker, NBC News White House correspondent and co-anchor of Weekend Today. She will also be only the second Black woman to serve as the sole moderator of a presidential debate.
Now, do you believe that her ethnicity or gender will play any role in being able to contain the types of bad behavior that took place during the first presidential debate?
I feel for me, unless she can shut off microphones, I think it'll be as big of a shit show as the first one was.
Okay.
All right.
And it was a shit show.
And the topics have not been announced yet. They will be announced a week before the debate, but there will be six topics, and each will get 15 minutes.
Why do they announce what the topics are in advance?
I guess so that the candidates can prepare general information, even though they don't know the specific questions. This gives both parties the opportunity to do some preparation.
Our first subject during this presidential debate is vinegar. Ron has 18 jars of balsamic vinegar. Joe, Vice President Biden, how many jars of balsamic vinegar do you have?
Our next topic in the debate will be fleshlights. President Trump, do you wash by hand or run it through the dishwasher? You have 2 minutes. Sorry.
That guy wouldn't clean it. That guy would
just be using it. We don't want to get off the rails again.
That's gross. Gross. Nasty.
I did participate in the democratic process. The wife and I dropped off our ballots at the our local ballot drop box this Sunday. So we have officially placed our votes for this this presidential election.
It's nice to know that Tulsi Gabbard has increased her total tally by 2 based on the actions of your wife and you. And I want to say thank you.
Take the country in the direction we'd like to see it go.
What?
She's taking the country in the direction we'd like to see it go. So
she wants to get us out of wars. She does not believe that our military should be the police. She believes that our military should be used in tactically strategic places. She's got my vote.
Now, speaking of your vote, I saw that you had your ballot the other day. Did you send your ballot in yet?
No, not yet.
What are you waiting for, Brian? You're coming close to the deadline where you have the comfort zone. Are you going to mail it or are you going to bring it to a Dropbox?
Oh, I'm going to go bring it and drop it off.
All right. That's better then.
I think that it's important that I, as much as I trust the United States postal system, I believe that I will feel a lot better knowing that I've delivered it to exactly to the people who are going to be doing the counting. Whereas if you trust it to the post office, who knows the types of shenanigans. it's been well documented amongst Fox News that they are throwing ballots out in rivers and creeks.
The rivers is in garbage cans. I mean, I will say with all seriousness, if you have the ability to go to a ballot box, you probably should, because we already know the Postal Service will be very much overwhelmed with the amount of mail-in ballots that are going on. I mean, you look at a state like Texas, for example, where the governor is just doing straight up voter suppression by limiting, each county to one Dropbox. You have one county that is 2,000 square miles, 1.6 million residents, and they get one Dropbox.
Yes.
So they've been sued multiple times. I saw one of the lawsuits actually in Travis County today. A federal court is now stating that they're breaking state laws because of, I didn't read the whole article, but it's a little ridiculous that the Republican Party seems to not want people to vote.
They don't. Oh, no. They are unabashedly about limiting the votes, that because they will not acknowledge that they represent a minority of the country. The only way they can retain power is through voter suppression and gerrymandering. It's the only way that they can. What I also think that stuff like this, where you have governors and your local leaders, this is why it is so important to vote, even if, there's no marquee contest at the top of that ballot. Don't vote every 4 years. Vote every year. Vote in special elections, because those people you're voting for have a lot of say in the type of elections that will later be held.
Right. We've talked about that. Local elections are as important, if not more important, than the presidential election.
Yes, absolutely.
So why don't you run for office, Brian?
Oh, I don't know that the American public is ready for a candidate who, as much as I would like to be sponsored by Fleshlight, I believe that I have said enough things I was earlier accused of not valuing human life. I don't know that our political process is ready for somebody like that.
Interesting. We also want to talk about the Bill Barr monologue from this past weekend's Saturday Night Live.
Did you say Bill Barr?
Bill Burr, excuse me. Bill Barr
Bill is Burr, yes.
Suffering from coronavirus, hidden away in a bunker somewhere. I'm speaking of Bill Burr, who hosted Saturday Night Live this past weekend. A lot of people got fired up over the monologue, Brian.
Ooh.
What were your thoughts? When we talked about it after it was on, you didn't really seem overly impressed by it.
It wasn't. Saturday Night Live, when they have stand-up comedians as the host, for some reason they hand them a microphone to talk into to give their stand-up to do their stand-up monologue. But if it is a movie star who's going to say in the same manner, the same style, they don't do it. So first off, I already find it annoying that within that Bill Burr comes out and goes, hey, it's great to be here in New York. You know, it's been so special. Then he leans over and someone hands him a microphone. He's like, because that's what I'm telling you, folks. Like, it seems unnecessary. He seemed out of practice, considering that this was a national audience. It felt there was a lot of awkwardness and a lot of, I want to say, downtime during the during the period of the monologue. Some of his jokes didn't hit, which, hey, not everybody's going to find everything funny.
Right.
But it felt like, you know, at that level, you should have practiced your material enough and or gone for the stuff that is kind of like the middle and not the extremes. But there were times where he would make a joke and you would just hear silence. And they're doing it in front of a studio audience this year.
I think the audience didn't know how to take some of his jokes. He is a very, I don't want to say he's a controversial comedian, but he's certainly not someone that cares what people think about him. So he is willing to say things that, you know, probably push the envelope a bit.
Well, I think the thing with him is that he speaks his mind, whether he is appearing in a garbage, you know, comedy club 15 years ago, whether he has doing Madison Square Garden, Carnegie Hall here, now he's doing Saturday Night Live, he hasn't watered down his product.
No.
He still is speaking his mind as a undereducated white male growing up in America. The types of jokes that he's referring to, now he's making more jokes about his about being married and having a family, whereas, you know, before it was, you know, it was a lot of shit and dick jokes. But I was expecting him to be funnier. Now, did you watch the rest of the show?
I caught a few of the skits. I mean, I don't think, again, I don't know that it's not a good season. Like, I think the opening skit with the vice presidential debate was all right. The monologue I enjoyed personally. But yeah, I didn't. Weekend Update has been good, but I don't think a lot of the skits have been all that good. And I think Jack White was the musical guest. I'm not a fan.
I don't get Jack White. People consider him a guitar god. They put him up there with Jimmy Plant, Roger Plant, Jimmy Page. Okay, I was close, but you knew who I was talking about.
I did, yeah.
It's just not the same.
Did you like the other parts of the show?
I gave up after Weekend Update.
Yeah,
like I watched it. Weekend Update. I was like, this isn't great. And then I said I was going to get back to it, and never did.
Well, I guess the big question, besides Saturday Night Live, what are you watching, Brian?
Ooh, I tried. What's the? You mentioned it last week. You turned me on to it. I want to say Ted Lasso.
I didn't turn Ted you on. Russo. Lasso, I heard, is very funny.
I watched the first episode last night. Two nights ago, I watched the first episode. I don't know that if it wasn't Jason Sudeikis as the main character, whether I would continue watching.
Okay.
But I will continue watching. It's a lot of America versus Britain humor.
Right.
You know, it's the awkward.
It's the awkward water comedy.
Yeah. America, I don't want to say a low class American, but it's, you know, a redneck American, taken out of his environs and, placed in, the foo-foo world of English Premier League.
There you go.
Ron?
Yes.
What are you watching?
Oh, I watched on Netflix The Haunting of Bly Manor. This is a follow-up to last year's Haunting of Hill House. Not a sequel. They're kind of doing the American Horror Story type thing where they do a different story, but they bring in members of the cast from the first season. So this was kind of an interpretation of Henry James' The Turn of the Screw. Which if you are not an English major, you probably haven't read. And if you were an English major, you read it and were very confused. And so a lot of it's very confusing. It gets very difficult to follow. I stuck with it to the end just to figure out, you know, and you do eventually get told what's going on. But it was good, but not great. I would give it probably about a 6 or 7 out of 10.
How closely tied to Turn of the Screw was it?
It was, I would say probably about 60% of it was the actual story. And then they take some liberties with additional characters and they changed up, the ending a bit as well.
I remember when I read Turn of the Screw, and when I say I read the Cliff Notes.
Yes.
But I remember my teacher literally while we were reading the book in class, almost every page, every other page would stop and look at the class and be like, and I think we all know what they're really talking about here. Right. And I remember like a fucking idiot sitting in the back of the class, having no idea what that was an allusion to. And I was just like, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there were
episodes of this and, you know, my wife will usually ask me what's going on in a show because she's usually like paying attention to something else. And so she will watch it and she was like, what's going on in this episode? And I'm like, I literally have no idea what's going on right now. Like I see the actors and I see what's going on. I have no idea what's happening.
What I do want to watch is Nurse Ratched.
I watched the first episode. I liked it. My wife didn't, haven't gone back to it, but I'm a huge Sarah Paulson fan. So I need to go back to it and start watching it again. It was, I mean, it was very much American Horror Story esque. And I'll go back to it eventually. I also watched this week on Netflix, the documentary American Murder, The Family Next Door. This was the story of Chris Watts, the husband who killed his wife, Shanann Watts, and also killed their two daughters as well, left his daughters in some oil tanks for the company that he worked for and buried his wife in a shallow grave out in the desert. It was one of those documentaries that you watch and at the end of it, you're like, well, why did they make a documentary out of this? Because it was very... Agreed. Forward where, you know, wife disappears, kids disappear, you know, first you're like, you know, they think, whoa, and maybe she just left. And then you find out the dad did it and he's got a girlfriend and everything else. So it wasn't like there was no like aha or like I've really learned something about the human condition here. He's a horrible individual and will be spending the rest of his life in jail. But one other thing I do want to check out is I did see that there is a YouTube special called Unmasking Nicole Kessinger, who was his girlfriend, who doesn't get a lot of airtime in the documentary, but her story in the documentary is like, yes, he told me he was separated from his wife and I had nothing to do with him deciding to kill his wife or his kids. And I watched about 10 minutes of this YouTube series. And you find out that she was like Googling the wife's name. They were probably involved longer than the documentary would give you reason to believe they were. So her involvement seems a little bit shady. So I'm probably going to watch that and get a little bit more in depth into it.
Are you really going to watch an 8-part YouTube series?
I mean, I'm not working.
Okay. Good point. I mean, the last YouTube thing that we watched was, Plandemic.
Ooh,
and I think that casts a shadow on the legitimacy of research videos that go straight to YouTube.
Good point. Here's a question for you: have you kept up with watching The Vow, the documentary series on HBO about the NXIVM sex cult? So
there was not enough sex in it for me to keep watching. It was about the NXIVM cult, There was not sex. I did not get any sex in there.
So they have dragged this series, as a lot of documentary series do, they drag this out a lot longer than it needs to be. So it's 9 episodes. They just released episode 8 this past Sunday. The final episode will be this Sunday. But I will tell you, if you really want to see how twisted this Keith Raniere is, just watch episode 8 of The Vow. Because you watch episodes 1 through 7 and you're like, how did this go from being, you know, like a self-help group to being a sex cult? Like how, you know, there's a jump there and you never really see it. And in episode 8, you get to see how through the classes that he developed and the trust that he developed and the tools that he developed, that he literally crushed these women's ability to question life and have confidence in themselves. Like it was, you watch it and it's the most uncomfortable I've been watching a TV show in a while. Because
now, were you taking notes on efforts that he was doing?
I was not, no. But I mean, there are parts of this where you're like, now you see why Howie is such a twisted and sick individual. And in looking at it from the outside, you're like, how did people not see this? And the people that had left his organization that they follow, who are now working against him, are like, you know, I have a very hard time, you know, justifying how I was a part of this. Like one of the guys, you know, his wife told a story about how, you know, when she felt that she was disrespectful to him, that she would sleep on the floor next to their bed for like a week for penance. And he's like, how did I ever feel that that was right? How did I ever feel that was deserved?
Was she told that that's what they had to do? Or no, that was like,
that was her being like, I have disrespected my marriage, or I've disrespected my vows in the way, you know, I didn't, you know, support my husband. So I need to sleep on the floor for a week. And he was just like, well, that just seems like something that should happen. And now they look back at it. And they, I mean, all these people that have gotten out of this cult have major PTSD. Like it's
right. I'm sure.
If you watch no other episode, watch episode 8 of The Vow, and you really get an insight as to how wicked this Keith Raniere is. And I believe he gets sentenced finally sometime this month.
There are people that stand outside the court dancing to confess their love for him. Still today.
It's the power that he was able to hold over men and women, a large number of them, unexplainable to me.
I would like to be the head of a cult. I could see myself doing that.
But I don't think it's a cult.
No. But I'm not really about manipulating people. Like, that's not my thing. I don't really get any joy out of it. You know, I would like to one day have 51% ownership of a podcast. I don't think I'm asking for too much there. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe not this podcast. Not
this podcast. You know,
maybe I could start a new one just called The Brian Podcast. And, you know, maybe I'll have a majority ownership there.
You would hope if it was your own, you would own it. What would we lose this week, Brian? It was a tough one. It was a tough one for us Yankees fans, and not just for the fact that we were knocked out of the playoffs by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Why do you have to bring that up?
We have to take ownership of it, Brian. We have to acknowledge what happened.
I have an entire 12-pack of Yankee Pilsner that I was saving for the World Series.
Oh, I do too.
That now is just taking up space in my emotional and literal refrigerator.
Well, we lost
Whitey Ford,
Yankee legend.
Whitey Ford, 91, all-time Yankees wins leader, passed away last Friday in his home in Long Island. He had suffered from Alzheimer's disease for recent years. Six-time World Series champion, 10-time All-Star, nicknamed the chairman of the board, one of the best lefties that the Yankees ever put there. Edward Charles Ford went by the name Whitey, not because he was a racist, So don't start that shit.
He grew up back in the day when it was fine to be called Whitey.
Yes. Yes. Or if somebody was just like, hey, Whitey, like, was it racial? Was it racial? But yeah, I saw him at Old Timers Gay 2 years ago. Whitey Ford.
I'm not going to lie. I was not honestly not aware that he was still alive.
I hadn't thought about him in a very long time, so I can't say that I was shocked that he died, but you still don't like to see it.
Nope. Not the only death in the world of baseball this week, as Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame second baseman Joe Morgan died at the age of 77. Used to love watching Joe on ESPN. A great baseball commentator. Also a great player as well. Brian,
you got Joe Morgan
over there, right?
Beg your pardon?
You have some career stats for Joe Morgan over there, right?
Do I have career stats for Joe Morgan? Of course I do. Played baseball for 22 years. Started off in 1963 with the Houston Colt 45s. Joined the Reds in 1972 following an 8-player trade between the two teams. Then went on to, after Cincinnati, went to 1979, went to San Francisco Giants. He also played with the Philadelphia Phillies and closed his career out with the Oakland A's. But if we're talking stats on Joe Morgan, here's this. 9,277 at-bats. 268 career home runs. 2,517 hits. A career batting average of .271. Scored 1,650 runs. Hit in 1,133 RBIs. Stole 689 bases. Was 5'7". Weighed 160.
All right,
was born September 19th, 1943, in Bonham, Texas.
You're going off the rails here. Joe Morgan, we will miss you. Also on the game show circuit, Tom Kennedy, host of Name That Tune, dead at the age of 93. Again, another individual that I did not realize was still alive.
I had no idea that he was even around, and then I saw that he passed away. Do we have a photo of him or no? Because I think some people know what he looks like.
I can try and find one real quick if you'd like. I mean, I used to watch that tune. That was like a...
First off, I watched Name That Tune religiously as a kid. My family watched it. I just happened to have been in the room, so I'm not going to lie. However, it always irked me the way... They made the show such that the contestants could not just say, I can name that tune in four notes.
Right.
I can name that three. They had to cutesy it up. So it was always just like, Roger, yeah. Tom Kennedy.
It was a world where I can name a tune in three notes.
Ron, I can name that tune in two notes.
And then there's people that can name, and I always like, seriously, if someone can name a tune in one note, you would lose your shit.
Well, they were just like, I can name that tune in one note. Literally, it was just like the camera would zoom in and out, and you would hear the audience like, just going, yeah, I liked it.
We say farewell to Tom Kennedy, and also
look at that amazing 70s hair.
Listen, and the blazer, the tie. I mean, there was no one better than Tom Kennedy at what he did personally.
Agreed.
And then
Monty Hall, maybe
from TV, we lost Conchata Ferrell. She played the role of Berta, the housekeeper, on Two and a Half Men.
I don't recognize the name Conchata Ferrell whatsoever.
You don't. I'll throw a photo up here also as well, so maybe you will recognize it. Hold on, let me.
Because I did not. I don't believe I've ever heard of the name Conchata as a first name. I was not familiar with it. Had to do a Google search just because I didn't.
Not a fan of Two and a Half Men.
That looks like I left a potato out for too many days.
Wow. Speaking ill of the dead is not a good look, Brian. I'm not going to lie.
But that's my specialty.
You just said
I don't value human life.
Again, that's why you'll never be elected to political office.
No. But yeah, right. No. But once I saw who she was, I was like, oh, I've seen her in a bunch of things. Yes, she's a perfect sitcom actress. Well, she was a perfect sitcom actress, where she was good with a sarcastic tone, but also was able to say things with a straight face, which I think is what you need in a sitcom.
And Billy makes a good point. Brian getting no points from all those deaths. However, you're still riding high over the Hedy Van Halen death.
Yeah, I mean, I might as well jump if I'm not going to get any more points. I got Eddie Van Halen, and very few people did. So I'm okay with my standings at this point.
Only one other person got Eddie Van Halen, so I think you're in fourth place. So we've got 2.5 months to go in the Ron and Brian death pool. I think Andrew H probably has first place locked up, but who knows? You know, we could have a wave of celebrity deaths, and who knows what happens.
Considering that there's a pandemic going on and people are dying, I would say that it's an unpredictable year and anybody could die at any time.
Considering we are clearly in a second wave since we hit the highest coronavirus case count today that we had since August.
And fingers crossed on Tekashi 6ix9ine.
What does the president feel about the coronavirus?
Right now, I think it's under control. I'll tell you what.
How? 1,000 Americans are dying a day.
They are dying. That's true. And it is what it is. But that doesn't mean we aren't doing everything we can. It's under control as much as you can control it. This is a horrible plague that beset us.
It's under control as much as you can control it.
But isn't there... But that's a lie, because we're not doing everything we can do.
No, we're clearly not. One interesting thing before we get out of here, 538.com the other day for their polling that they're doing, flipped Georgia. They are now over to leaning Democratic in the presidential race.
Can we see an update on the snake?
Oh, you want the snake map, huh?
Come on! I thought you should you should every week bring the 538 snake map, because I have never seen a diagram laid out like this. It's genius. It makes so much sense. It's visually appealing, even though I do not like exotic animals, reptiles, not my thing.
I don't know that a snake counts as an exotic animal. I'm just gonna go out there and say it, but we can definitely pull this up real quick. The election forecast. So let me pop that up there on the screen. So there's your snake map, Brian. So shockingly enough, yes, you can now see Georgia, which I'm not sure why they're putting it as leaning Democratic, because actually in the rolling polls, Trump and Biden are tied at 49.6%, but we are still seeing Joe Biden sitting at somewhere between 290 and 310 electoral votes at the moment. We've got North Carolina leaning blue, Arizona, surprisingly enough, leaning blue, Florida leaning blue, and then Pennsylvania, obviously, leaning blue as well.
They're leaning blue plus 2 votes.
And then as far as tipping points, still considering Pennsylvania to be one of the bigger tipping point states, with Biden having like a 6% lead.
Yes.
From what I hear, the biggest issue that Trump has right now is that there are fewer undecided voters at this point than there were in 2016. There was about 12.6% undecided voters, or people that were voting for third party candidates at this point in 2016. That number is only around 5.5%. So with Biden having anywhere from an 8-12% lead nationally, the routes for Trump to make up ground seem to be extremely limited. And especially if you look at all of the early voting that is going on, I think we are looking at historic numbers.
Don't you dare get confident.
I'm not getting confident, but I'm saying
it sounds like it. I say a level of comfort with where Biden stands right now, and I'm not there.
What I can confidently say is I feel there will be more votes cast in this election than in any election in modern history.
And how many are going to get tossed out?
Well, that's the question. And you know, what the polls do not factor in are the voter suppression tactics that are taking place in Georgia, in Texas, in Florida,
Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Arizona, California, Oregon, Washington,
literally putting
North Dakota, South Dakota.
All right, I'm going to turn your microphone off in a second.
Indiana, Illinois.
Sorry, I had to mute you. That's 51%. I have that ability to do so. So anything else, Brian, before we get out of here for the week?
No, not at all. This was a pleasure. This was fun. I'm glad. I was very nervous going back to this chair this week after what took place last week in the After Dark. It was personal. It was ugly. I was ashamed of some of the things I said. I was hurt by things I heard. And, you know, if people are not subscribing to our Patreon, now's the time to do it. We're going on over there in about 15 minutes. The link is right there below.
RonandBrianPodcast.com.
That guy is my life partner. It's odd because I have to do the opposite.
It's like sailing. You know, if you want to go right, you turn left.
Sailing.
We appreciate you joining us here on the podcast. As always, we ask, head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review, not just the stars, but leave a written review as well. If you would like to check out the After Dark, that is exclusive for our Patreon subscribers. Just go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. The upper right corner of the screen, it says become a patron. It's not any easier than that. I'm feeling a little buzzed. Brian, how about you?
Not yet, but I have a shot of Jameson cold brew.
Nice.
Which I will be setting off in between now and the next 14 minutes.
All right. Well, let's roll on out of here.
In a world
where things are nice. All right. Well, let's roll out of here for you podcast listeners. We'll catch you next week for After Dark. We'll catch you in about 15 minutes.